Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Hello, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. Wow, what a show today. You know, everybody is talking about one thing right now, and that's the environment. You know, I get so many people reaching out to me on the show, and they say, hey, Jake, when you bring leaders in, when you bring worldwide leading experts in to talk about the environment, we love it. So my team reached out through the Rolodex because we've been trying to get Mr. Noel Carroll on the show for a number of months. We finally were able to slot him in. Noel is the CEO of BioFriendly. And you probably heard of BioFriendly. They're a technology company, an education company. I mean, they're right in the middle of it. They were founded back in 1999 to really combat the worldwide problem of air pollution. And since then, well, like they say, the rest is history. But we have Noel on the show today. I don't want to keep going with the introduction because I want to get right to it. I have so many questions. Noel, welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. I've been so excited for the show. We've had so many of our watchers and so many of our viewers and listeners reach out to me and say, Jake, when you get Noel on the show, make sure you ask him this question. But let's get right to it. Let's pull the lens back like we always do to start the show, and let's have you tell us about BioFriendly, and then we're going to get into it.
Sure thing. Sure thing. So BioFriendly, we kind of had that, as you mentioned earlier, the original purpose of it was to handle air pollution. That was the initial goal of the company. And so in that manner, we developed a product called Green Plus, which is basically the United Nations' first ever energy transition fuel additive. So what basically, in simple terms, all you do is you add it to fuel and then it causes that fuel to pollute less, right? So that was sort of the initial kind of environmental product. And then from that, we expanded into heavily into education. We founded BioFriendly Planet Magazine, which is a pretty big online spot for learning about the environment. And the point of BioFriendly Planet was to try to find a way to educate people on how to be green, how to be better for the planet without browbeating them, without making them feel too bad about it, because that was one of the things we researched and discovered, was that sometimes environmentalists could be so extreme and so gung-ho about it that people had a tough time kind of embracing it and finding their way in. So we're like that little, you know, kind of kindergarten step into learning about the environment.
Yeah, it's so great. And of course, the name BioFriendly just resonates for me. It resonated for our entire team at .com Magazine. I mean,
awesome.
It says it all. You know, you want to be friendly to the environment. You want to be friendly to the biosphere. You know, you want to be friendly to the world that we live in, because it's really a living, breathing sort of organism, if you will. Now, Noel,
absolutely.
Where did this passion that you have to be BioFriendly come from?
You know, I don't sound like it very much. My family's Australian. And so I with a mom and dad and my uncles, they're actually my uncle and my dad and my other uncle, they actually founded the company way back when. And they're kind of purpose was to really help the environment and had kind of been into that for a while. In Australia, conservation is a big deal. We have a lot of unusual animals down there, and flora and fauna in general. That's not really anywhere else on the earth. And when people first settled down there, there wasn't quite a recognition of what you could do as an invasive species onto an island. It's a big island, but it's an island. When you come in and you sort of start to take over, right? So a lot of this really interesting, wonderful kind of animals and plants and life just started dying off because we weren't treating it right. So in Australia, it was kind of a big deal at the turn of the last century, around the 1900s, to start to care for these animals and start to care about what it was that people were doing to the environment. So it's sort of spread in out there, I think, a little quicker than a lot of other places to care for your environment, care for where you are and what you're doing to, you know, to the world around you. And so then that kind of spread on to my parents, who then their first kind of technology that they developed was an oil water separator. Because I don't know if you know this, but back in the old days, they used to, in these offshore oil platforms, they used to actually take the oil out of the water in the ground, and then they would just have this extra produced water, which was mostly water, but had a lot of oil in it. And they would dump that over the side and kill all the fish in the area. So that's obviously not great for the environment. So they created something called the Voltoil oil water separator, which would then spin it in high speeds. And then by doing that, it would separate the oil from the water, and you could use the oil to produce. And then the water going off the side was good to be, you know, for the fish and the environment. So that kind of led into then, okay, well, what else can we do for the planet? And then on it moved, and here we are.
Well, it's a great story. You come from a line and a family of technologists that really love, you know, the environment, environmental technologists. And of course, they started with the separator of the oil and water. Then they had the Green Plus technology, which is, used to reduce air pollution for over two decades. I mean, you've had billions of gallons treated with this Green Plus technology. So congratulations on that. Where does the Green Plus technology stand currently?
Well, it's in about 60% of the fuel in Texas to meet the Texas low emission diesel requirement. Back in the early 2000s, Texas was having some issues with their air quality, similar to what California had in the 70s. And so the EPA basically, you know, they said, look, you got to do something about it. And they came up with this program called the Texas Low Emission Diesel Program, where additive companies could test their additives and prove whether or not it would help reduce emissions. And ours was one of the few that qualified for it. And so it's now, because it's the cheapest and easiest to use, the most popular product in that area. It's also used all over the world, most popularly in Latin America. Latin America, there's a ton of countries using it. We kind of focus with that product on developing countries as opposed to the developed world. We're very much in favor of the idea of sustainability and renewable energy and electric vehicles and all that. And it seems odd as an additive company that we would be, but that is kind of the future, and we recognize that. Our purpose really is to kind of help with that fuel that's going to be burned anyway, but there's nothing to be done about it, because in the transition, there's still going to be diesel trucks that are, you know, transporting things. There's still going to be ships. There's still going to be all sorts of things burning fuel. So we try to reduce that. And so we've been working with the UN and other organizations to help kind of get that done.
It's such fascinating work. Of course, you're a big believer in surrounding yourself with the best talent in the world, building a world-class team. We want to talk about that momentarily, but
sure.
But let's talk about Biofriendly Planet, because that seems like a super cool and interesting major project, Noel, that you've got going on at the company. And let's talk about that, because that's really an impactful program that you have going on right now.
Absolutely. So Biofriendly Planet was it was born out of somewhere where myself and one of the talented people that you're probably talking about is Jacob Givens. He and I, we actually came from the entertainment industry. We weren't, I'm kind of the black sheep of the family, right? So I've got a bunch of scientists in my family who are into technologies and inventing new things. And that's not really that was more the artists, right? So Jacob and I, we were in entertainment. We had a YouTube show called Good Cops, which was a show about these three idiot cops would use faulty logic and explosions to solve crimes that nobody cared about. And then in the end, you find out that the logic was right, the explosions were necessary, and the crime was the crime of the century, the most important one ever, right? So that took off, went really well. We ended up selling that show to Warner's digital gaming arm at the time, a company called Machinima. And then they made more of that. And then we made a Western companion piece to Red Dead Redemption called Tumbleweed. And then Shoreline Entertainment asked us to make a movie. So we made one of those. And that was kind of going along and moving really well. And then this opportunity kind of came up with a family where there was a, you know, my uncle's ready to retire and they need a little bit of help to jump in. And so my brother, who's also an inventor, he said, well, can you, you know, what you want to come in and try this for a while? And I said, well, if I do, I'd still like to do something creative with it. Like to have something that's where we can go out and do things that are a bit more on the creative side as well as the technology side. And so I brought Jacob along with me, and then we started Biofriendly Planet with Tara McFatridge, who's our editor, who's a brilliant environmentalist herself. And the purpose of Biofriendly Planet was basically to to find a way to make it easier for anybody, even if you're not into environmentalism or you're not a traditional, you know, I think there's a reputation that, only lefties can be environmentalists, right? You got to be kind of more democratic liberal. And we just felt like anybody could be an environmentalist. It should be for everybody. So we kind of looked for more of like an olive branch, easy, light way to give people little tips, little tricks, easy ways to get in, things where you don't have to change your engine into a peanut oil powered device or drink your own urine or any kind of like any of the wild stuff that you hear about. It's just like, here's some basic easy stuff. And if you don't want to do this, we'll give you something else next week. And that's the whole theme of Biofriendly Planet. And then we started a podcast called the Biofriendly Podcast, which is also taking off really well. Jacob and I co-host it, and it's the same kind of theme. And that has really, really taken off. It's going really well. We're getting, about 50,000 visitors come a month to check it out, and it's growing. And so it's gone really well. It's been a lot of fun, and we're enjoying that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Of course, when we think about the environment, we think about education. The way you're doing it, Noel, is so important because, like you mentioned, if you hit somebody over the head too many times too hard, they're going to run away because they're not going to want to keep on being hit on the head. So
right. You
provide these sort of easily understood tips about how to change the world, like one step at a time. When we think about what you're doing and we think about, the youth of the country, the youth of the world, how important do you feel it is to sort of get the youth on board on this sort of education train with regard to being biofriendly?
Yeah, well, it's huge, right? I mean, because it's funny, the youth are leading the movement for sure, right? Like the youth are the ones who kind of understand that they're going to be here for a while. and if we don't get this, if we don't keep this planet working for all of us, that they might not have as good of a planet later to work with. So in that regard, they're very, very engaged, very involved and want to help. The challenge that we've had and where we've had actually a lot of success is to help you see that there's other ways to present the problem, right? There's other ways to show people how to fix it, that there's more options to get people to join the team. Because what we don't want to do is have the environment feel exclusive, right? It's not one of those things where only the cool people can do it, where only the popular people can do it, where only the people who know what's going on can be part of it, because we don't solve the problem that way. We need to have a really big, wide open tent where anybody can come in. And that's kind of where we focused. Our point of view on education, particularly with the youth, is to help give that point of view and help show how that can be done. And that has been going really well.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. It sounds amazing. Of course, the people love the show. You and Andrew do the show, and so many people are talking about it. Now, I look at you somewhat as a zeitgeist, someone that's sort of a forward thinker, someone that sort of has an understanding of what's going to happen in the future. When we think about technology and we think about sort of the environment and we think about pollution, now here's one of the questions that came from one of our viewers was, will technology in the future be able to clean up the pollution? Like, will there ever be a day when you look at the smokestacks and all the fumes are coming out and all the black smoke's coming out and, whether it's in America or India or China or South America, but somehow some technology platform is able to sort of zap it or do something to sort of eliminate it and get it out of the way?
Yeah, it's interesting, but the answer to that is yes, absolutely, 100%. And that is actually something that is being worked on. There's a lot of different carbon capture technologies out there. Some of them aren't that effective. Some of them are pretty promising. There's a ton of money and a ton of interest going in that direction. One of the fun parts about having this job and being able to do this is I get to spend a lot of time working with the UN. I get to spend a lot of time in Washington and meeting a lot of really interesting people who are working on problems like these. And I mean, this is a situation where we are far enough ahead technologically in the way we live that the only way out is with technology. That's kind of, I mean, it's a hard thing, I think, for a lot of people to hear, because a lot of us love, particularly who are big into an environment, love the idea of a minimalist lifestyle and of personally doing everything you can to make it so that you have no personal carbon impact. And I think that the more people do that, the better and the easier it'll be. And the more we change the way we live, that's only going to help. But in the end, yes, absolutely. It is going to be technology that gets us out of this. And there's really cool technology that's out there being worked on. a lot of it is experimental. Some of it's even being put into place. But if you look at the way nature works, I mean, every tree is a carbon sucking device, right? Like algae in the ocean is a carbon sucking device. Like all like this, like we've got natural solutions that we can also lean in on to help make it less, right? And then there will be technology, and there is technology now that'll help us going forward. And also, and I think this is important, is that I think in order to get people to really understand the problem, we've had to highlight the worst case scenarios. We've had to highlight what could happen, what could be the worst thing, where could this lead to if we're not careful. And I think that's sort of led people to believe that no matter what, the worst case scenario is going to occur, when actually that's not really the case. We can do this. We do actually have time. We can make it, and people are already working on it. It's already happening. So we're going to be okay, which is kind of an odd thing for an environmentalist to say these days, but we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this, and it's going to be a combination of new technologies and us learning to live a little bit differently that's going to get it done.
Yeah, that's so powerful, Noel, to hear that from you, of course, one of the leaders in the space. And it's very, very interesting when we talk about, you mentioned algae, and you know that leads me to my next question about the ocean.
Sure.
And of course, about water. You know, my wife and I, we are primarily in Arizona. And one thing in Arizona we're always worried about is, you know, where are we going to get all of our water from? Because
right,
it's expanding out, and, you know, where's the water going to come? When we think about technology and water, do you think that the water ecosystem is going to be improved? Do you think that there's going to be enough water to go around with the help of advanced technology into the future?
Yeah, I mean, we could do a lot better job with catchment as one thing. We could catch a lot more water. I mean, there's a ton of water that just flows away, right? It ends up in the ocean somewhere. I mean, that's where most of it goes, right? So we could do a better job of holding on to it. We could do a better, I mean, there are technologies, there are desalinization technologies, particularly in the Middle East, where they use a ton of it. And in Australia, actually, they have some really big desalination plants, which, again, they use a lot of energy. It's not an ideal way to go. There's other, I think better ways to go about it. But there's a lot of technology out there to help with water. Water is one of those things also where we do have to rethink a little bit how we live and how we use it. You know, I think some of the farming that we do in California could be addressed a little differently. Some of the types of crops that we grow, the way that we feed, you know, livestock, we use a whole lot of corn. It's pretty water intensive. Basically, I mean, we grow too much of it in order to burn it, some of it for ethanol and for biofuels and things like that, or to feed livestock or to use for other purposes. We could do a better job with managing our land. We could do a better job of rotating crops. We could do a better job of farming in general, which would save a ton of water. And there are new technologies in farming. I don't want to lean too hard or hit them too hard, because it's a tough business, and they do a really good job when you figure how many people there are and how we all, you know, most of us do stay fed. But they're pretty incredible, but there's more that can be done, and they know that. And there's more that's being worked on there. Plus, I just think that there's a lot of technology in terms of just catching more water and generating power from that water, which we can also do. There's just a lot that can be done there. And it is, again, it's one of those things that is being focused on, that is known, and that's happening. We're dealing with some growing pains at the moment as we deal with this kind of inflection point of the environment.
Yeah, I love the way you look at the glass being half full, to use a water pun, I guess, because so many people look at it being half empty. But I like the idea that the way you approach it is from a positive standpoint. You have a can-do attitude. You have a, yes, we can do this. Technology can help. We can do certain action steps right now that all sort of lead up to a big, beautiful bow to help the environment. Now, BioFriendly, I mean, you've been joined throughout the years by some of the world's brightest minds. I mean, in business, science, engineering, of course, entertainment, yourself, and environmentalism. So when we think about sort of building a business, Noel, how important is it to make sure that the team you have on your roster are the world-class people that you can bring on?
I mean, the team is everything. Right. I mean, like, if you could look at sports, right? I mean, if you can have the greatest coach, the greatest system on earth in order to have your team play as well as it can possibly play, but if the other team has better players, you're probably going to lose. Right. So you do need to get you do need to get the best people out there. We've got a great team. In Latin America, we have a huge team, which is led by a gentleman named Pedro Ceja Velasco. They do a great job of basically establishing how you can make a big difference in the developing country kind of area very quickly. And that's something that we've kind of modeled in other places around the world. Politically, Jose Nino, our chairman, has been in Washington, for 40 years, helping with all sorts of different legislation and regulations and environmentalism and minority rights, and which is a ton of different things. He's a wonderful, amazing man, and he kind of leads that sort of regulatory arm that we have, where we try to help make a difference through the government. Dr. Colin Hill, he's our chief scientist. He's a genius. He's amazing. He's actually the whistleblower on NTDE, which is something I don't know if the audience knows about, but basically we used to have this chemical that was in the fuel in order to help it burn more efficiently. They had to kind of replace things like lead, which used to be in the fuel many years ago, with other, other types of additives that would make the fuel still work. And unfortunately, NTDE, as it turned out, was cancer causing. And once you got it into the water, you cannot ever get it out. It was something they discovered too late, and he helped to figure that out and solve that problem. He's a genius when it comes to additives, to the environment, to things like that. Of course, my brother is one of the inventors of the product, Michael Carroll, and he's got some amazing technologies. He's got one that he developed, the Helios Altus technology, which is used in villages in places where they've never seen power before, and he calls it the power ball. Basically, it's just a little ball that you can put into a canal, and then it rotates and provides power 24 hours a day. And so they put them out there in these villages, and the kids who've never had an electrical light on before now having full power in their villages. It's pretty cool. So it's a good team, And then I also mentioned Jacob, and Tara. I mean, it's a good team. We work hard. We're trying to make a difference.
Well, it's so great. And of course, the Carroll brothers are known for their passion for the environment and technology and education, and your entire team is committed to the common goal. And of course, your corporate culture starts at the top, and this passion that you have and this love of not only, this team that you've developed, but the technology. And of course, the educational component is just a beautiful thing to see. Now, Noel, I know we've only cut out a certain amount of time today, but I want to get into entrepreneurship because, we have younger entrepreneurs that are watching the show. And sometimes the younger entrepreneurs, they have a little bit of a challenge, they hit a roadblock, they hit a wall, they can't get through, they can't get around the potholes, they freeze in the frame because maybe they haven't experienced getting through those tough times. So maybe as we get toward the end of the show, and again, thank you so much for slicing some time out for me today.
Absolutely.
You could talk to the younger entrepreneurs and tell them what it takes to get through those tough times as they're getting around those potholes or over those walls that they need to get through as an entrepreneur.
Sure. Well, the biggest thing that I've found that I would definitely pass on to younger entrepreneurs who are starting a business it's important, obviously, to look at the big picture, to look at, the macro view of what you're working on. But sometimes when you do that, you can see a giant crater. It looks like a crater, and you go, that's not a puddle, it's a crater. How am I going to get past that? How do I get through this, right? Like the problem can seem massive, like unsolvable when you look at it at first. But life doesn't work in the macro, it works in the moment. So in every single moment, you will have something that you need to confront. You'll have some little thing you've got to handle, right? And that crater is actually something that you can get down into it, you can go along it, you can miss the little puddles within the crater and get yourself out the other side and through, right? You can make it by going one step at a time. And there was one thing that the director that Jake and I worked with, he and I had an old saying when we would make a crazy project, like a crazy film project, because filming movies and shows, it's wild. There's all sorts of stuff that just gets thrown into you at the last minute. You have no idea how you're going to handle it, but you do. And we would always say it's, in the morning, step one, shave. Like you can't, like just do the first thing, get it done, do it right, do the next thing, get it done, get it right. It doesn't mean you don't have a plan. It doesn't mean you don't look at things from the macro to make sure that your plan makes sense. But in the end, you're not going to solve all the problems at once. You're going to solve them one at a time. So handle the one in front of you. And once you've done that, you'll be like, okay, I've done that. Now let's handle the next one. Now I've done that. And the next thing you know, all the problems that were in front of you will have been handled because you can do it. And then you'll get yourself out the other side. And that's what I found to be the most successful.
I love it. It's great advice. I mean, just, you know, put one foot in front of the other. And of course, if you're not experiencing challenges as an entrepreneur, you're probably not pushing hard enough. So if everything's smooth sailing, you might want to put the pedal to the metal a little bit, because if you're not making some mistakes and having some challenges, you're just not pushing hard enough, as you know, through your career in the movies. And of course, you know, with, of course, this amazing company, BioFriendly. Listen, Noel, what you're doing with technology and education for the environment is remarkable. Of course, you know, this is a family business that was founded many, many years ago. You've put together a world-class team all over the world. Everybody's unified in their approach. I mean, this is remarkable. We're going to bring you back on the show because I want to talk a little bit more about sort of your experience in the entertainment business and how that translates into entrepreneurship. We'll do that on our next interview that we'll have down the road a bit. But listen, this is amazing. Congratulations, Noel, on what you're doing with BioFriendly. I mean, the podcast is off the hook. What you and Andrew are doing is phenomenal. Your team are incredible. And what you're doing with the environment is totally remarkable, not only with Green Plus, which has just been around and so remarkable, but of course, with your BioFriendly project. So Noel, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been absolutely awesome.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here, and it was a pleasure to talk to you, Andy. Thank you.